Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano
and Bob Ramsey
on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank and Bob here till 12. Rob Range joins us. And his wife and himself are part of a great organization. They started it. It's called Rainbow for Kids. And they are hosting a fundraising gala to benefit children with cancer. It's going to be November 10th. And you talk about a star-studded lineup. Jerry Mathers from Leave It to Beaver is going to be on hand. How about Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster from the Munsters, Keith Thibodeau, who played Little Ricky from I Love Lucy. How about that? John Provost, Timmy from Lassie, and Rick Roberts, nationally known comedian, who is known for his Barney Fife impersonations. Rob, good
classic
work.
Classic TV.
This is awesome.
Classic TV.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the plug here. Yeah, it's going to be a great event. Rainbowsforkids.org/gala for anybody who will be announcing it today. And information is available on tickets and things like that. It's going to be at the Orlando Gardens Banquet Center in Dorset. And Frank, I know you've had a chance to be at some of our previous galas, so it promises to be a real fun evening.
I love the fact you're just going old school. I mean, you've always done that. A couple of years ago, it was the lovely Marianne Wells.
From Gilligan's.
Don Wells,
who looked lovely, and she was in her 80s. She had really high energy. I love this theme. Let's go back to the 60s. As Kevin Slade would say, take me back to the 60s.
Yeah, we all remember. I mean, in more innocent time, childhood favorites, and we've had occasion to meet all of these guys in person, and they're just really nice people, and they've all agreed to come in from all over the country to help us raise some money for our all-volunteer charity. So it should be real funny to have the auction, the silent auction. Andy Banker, Fox 2, is going to be the MC, and Rhythm of the Night is the band they'll be playing, so we'll have some music and dancing, a special couple of, you know, special surprises throughout the evening as well, and a special meet and greet for the people who buy the what we call the pre-party tickets. For the VIP tickets, we'll get a meet and greet and some photos with all the celebrities. So should be a real fun time, and appreciate your support and passing the word out.
Last question on this, though. I am curious on how things come together, because folks who if you haven't been involved in a charity endeavor, even if it's something simple like just a charity golf tournament, but all the moving parts and to be able to pull them together. Frank mentioned, Rob, that you've kind of gone old school with your guests in the past. How did you come up with, or did it kind of come along organically to have kind of the old school TV group from the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, I guess it started, you know, we had a chance to meet Keith Thibodeau a few years ago in Marshfield at the Cherry Blossom Festival, and turns out we had a connection with him because his daughter is married to Bryce Drew, who, of course, is the son of Homer Drew, who's a good friend of both Sally and I, and so we kind of ended up striking up a little bit of friendship with him. And so he was, you know, immediately one of the guys that we thought of when we wanted to do this, and then we had met both Jerry Mathers and John Provost, who played Timmy in the last year. We met both of those actually in Marshfield as well at the Cherry Blossom Festival. And John Provost is actually married to a woman from St. Louis, Lori Jacobson, who grew up in St. Louis. So that kind of was the connection with those two guys. And we had, you know, just had a desire to have Jerry Mathers at an event for a long time, and just kind of finally we thought it was out of our price range to get him. But then once we actually met him and his wife and talked about it, what we were doing, we were able to work out a very equitable agreement as far as just paying his expenses and stuff was concerned. So, yeah, all these guys are coming in at a very reasonable fee for the evening to be with us and help us, you know, hopefully raise a lot of money.
Wasn't Tony Dow available?
No, he passed away.
Oh, he's no longer with us. Wow.
He's not. Yeah, anyway.
Way to bring down the vibe.
That would have been a tougher get.
And Eddie Haskell is no longer with us, right?
Or he's no longer with us either. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is great.
That show was on a long time ago. You know,
that was a long time ago.
But But it is amazing how many people that have found out about it. We have a lot of great volunteers in our organization that have all put together a lot of work. Michelle Carter is the actual gala chairman, and she's done a lot of work. And our son Mike and his wife Lori have done a lot of work on the website and getting on some of the auction items already secured. So it's a team effort by you know a lot of people involved, and it's just going to be fun. So,
all right, let's talk a little baseball. Your guy, you've always been a Nolan Gorman guy from day one, or actually back in the minor leagues, but three home runs in the last two games, and also two of them have been either like left center or dead center. He's not pulling every ball. Rod, this guy is just insanely talented, and just as long as he stays out of the weight room, we're going to have a star being born here.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about him going forward now, I mean, we've seen a lot of the progress, you know, from a year ago to this year. And I think you're going to continue to see that growth. I mean, people forget because it seems like he's been around for a little bit. He's still only 23 years old. Mm-hmm. But I think that the other thing about him is that he, one of the things he did this year, which was a big improvement, was reduce his strikeout rate, you know, for the most part, and started to kind of figure out how to lay off those high fastballs that were such a big problem last year with getting him out. And he's done better at that this year. So I think the thing that to me that will make him even, you know, take the next step forward next year is to try to become a little bit more consistent. I mean, unfortunately right now, he's still kind of a pretty streaky player. He can go, you know, 2 for 20 or 2 for 30 or whatever in a week. And then he can have a week, like you said, this week where he hits three home runs in two games. So, you know, I think that's something I'm sure he probably wants to get a little bit straightened out, is just to be able to be a little bit more consistent.
You know, we always talk, nobody covers the minor leagues like you, and we talk about it whenever you're on. And since we last visited with you, I went in person to watch Springfield Cardinals play, and Victor Scott I know it's just double A ball, but he sure seems like he is the real deal.
Yeah, I think there's never any question about his speed and the question about his defensive ability. I think the question was how much he would hit. And I think that's probably surprised. If the Cardinals would admit it, I think they probably surprised him a little bit with how well he's hitting double A. He's actually hitting better there than he did when he was at Peoria first half of this year.
Yeah.
And they always say, you know, the thing about they always say about double A is if you could play at the double A level, you probably got a pretty good chance to play in the big leagues. I mean, that's kind of, they always say the biggest jump in baseball, I mean, obviously the jump to the big leagues is big, but the jump from A ball to double A is where you kind of have a mixing of the crowd, you know, like whether you're either going to have a chance or not going to have a chance. And he's certainly stepped up to the occasion. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he's one of the players they send to the fall league in October as well, which they've had a pretty good track record for the guys that go out there and play and have success in the fall that somehow end up in St. Louis the following year. So, you know, as we talk about this outfield alignment and the moves they're going to make this winter with the outfield, I don't think you can discount him being part of that 2024 outfield. Maybe not at the start of the season. Maybe not at the start of the season, but if he can continue to play in the fall like he did this second half of this year, and if he gets off to a good start next year, probably at Memphis at the first half of the year, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's knocking on the door here by the middle of next season.
And while I still can't pronounce his name, Segassi he looks like he is a bona fide hitter as well.
I've had more than one scout tell me they can't believe Texas traded him.
Huh.
So I think that's a guy that I think is going to, you know, he's legit too. Yeah. And he's still 21 years old playing at double A. And he's had a great year at double A. He played great for Frisco before the trade and has continued to do even better once he got to Springfield. So I think, yeah, there's two guys you definitely need to keep an eye on. And I think even though he hasn't had a great year statistically, I still think Tim Kentz is the real deal too. So, you know, they brought him along so slowly that, you know, you're going to still see him, you know, probably a couple more years before he's here. But I don't think there's anybody who's down on him at all, even though he's had some games where he struggled a little bit this year.
Okay, throwing Hence out of the equation, if you had to pick two guys in the Cardinals minor league system, pitcher-wise, that you believe will be effective at the major league level, either out of the bullpen or as starters, who would be your top two, not putting Hence in the equation, who's their number one prospect?
Well, I haven't seen Roby pitch yet. He's only pitched a few games for Springfield, and that was after because he'd been hurt for a lot of the year. So he's one of the other guys they got from Texas in the Montgomery trade too. So I think most people consider him and Graceffo the next two best prospects of the organization. Graceffo's had an injury kind of filled year two this year at Memphis, but I would say those two guys are probably the next two. I mean, they've got some younger kids, relief kind of candidates probably that are farther down the pipeline and A-ball and stuff, but those are the two guys you're probably going to see here before you see any of those guys come up.
Well, because the bullpen has to be redone completely and there's like seven spots open, it wouldn't surprise you if both those two are in the bullpen next year?
No, I think Roby will be a starter. I don't think they'd move him up to the bullpen. I think if he's ready to pitch in the big leagues, it'll be in the rotation. Everyone thinks he's going to be a middle to back into the rotation kind of starter. Ryan Lotos is a guy, the kid that pitched at WashU.
Yeah.
Had a pretty good year at Memphis, so I think he's got a shot. As you're talking about bullpen guys, I would think he's going to come to spring training next year with a chance to kind of force his way onto that club.
How come we haven't seen him up here with all the other pitchers we've seen? Because we were talking about Lotos really early in the year.
Yeah, he's had kind of an inconsistent year. He's had some really good stretches, and he's had some other stretches where he's struggled a little bit and still, you know, doesn't have to be 40-man protected for another year. And those spots are valuable, as we know. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, we can always, you and I and Bob could probably sit here and go through that roster and come up with about 10 openings on that 40-man roster here in about a day or two after this season ends. So there's going to be spots available to fill. But I think, you know, you still don't want to necessarily protect a guy that doesn't have to be protected. It's just a roster management situation that they try to follow as much as they can.
I'm sure we'll talk again before the Arizona Fall League gets going. And so I'm getting a little bit ahead of things, but when you're completely out of the race, the future is all you have to look forward to.
Sure.
Typically, how many players will the Cardinals send to Arizona? And what do you think of the number for this coming fall?
I think it's always somewhere between like 6 to 7, 7 to 8. They have like what they call a taxi squad, which is a guy that only is not guaranteed to play, you know, as much. And he agrees to go just to maybe get the experience and you know, still get the reps in and practice and stuff like that. So, actually, Brendan Donovan started out as a taxi squad guy in the fall league the year he went. So I think it's around 7, and it's mixed between position players and pitchers. Starts, you know, early October, the first week of October. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure when they're going to make the announcement as far as who's going out there, but, you know, sometimes they try to get pitchers out there who've had, you know, missed time because of injuries, so they can make up some of those innings. And sometimes it's just guys that they want to see, you know, get a little more looks at and see what they're ready to do at that higher competition. So it's always fun. I mean, last year you had Wynn and Walker out there, so you know, you always get to hopefully get to. And Hans Patink was there too. So yeah, so you had all three of those guys there. So I think that's the kind of level of prospects that they're talking about sending out there.
You know, you mentioned on the Fall League and Brendan Donovan, and a couple of years ago I was talking to a minor league coach for another organization. And I was asking, is Donovan a legit guy? And he goes, let me just tell you, I was coaching in the Fall League, Brendan Donovan was there, and I told my organization, this is a guy I've got to have on my team. And he recognized what I call, you know, the baller effect, that this guy just plays ball. And and so that it kind of helped me focus and watch him and ultimately made me a huge fan of the guy. And those are the kinds of things you can do. Doesn't mean because you play well that you're going to jump to the big leagues, but people start to notice, and it's a real opportunity for players, isn't it?
Yeah, because the competition is so good.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about there's six, I think there's six clubs that form one roster, and the Cardinals are going to be in Scottsdale this year. And I don't remember who the other teams are off the top of my head, but you're talking about, you know, six players or so, seven players from each of those seven clubs. So you're taking the best prospects. So, you know, and then you're facing the best prospects. So it's not like, you know, you're the 22nd man on the double A or A ball roster that's going out there. You know, you're only going if you've got a legitimate chance to play. And that's the same with everybody else in that league. So you're facing good pitching every day. You're facing, you know, other people that could hit, you know, on the other lineup every day. So it's really fun. I enjoy trying to go out there every year, and I always enjoy out there being out there and just watching those games.
I called Mike Claiborne about this because Andy Mueller and I were talking about this in the sports department yesterday. Can you ever remember a time where the Cardinals had two offensive players that young, 21 and 23, Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, that talented, you know, coming up at the same time? I mean, we've had good young players, but Yachty was way after Albert. He was never an unbelievable offensive player. Hernandez and Simmons were separated by years. But can you think of a time where two phenoms at the same time, or this young, this talented?
I don't have this information off the top of my head, but how old were Langford and Gilkey and those guys?
Exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had good careers, but they weren't great careers. But I think they were pretty highly touted when they came up, and I think they were about this age, you know, together. I don't remember off the top of my head without looking it up, But probably, yeah, you, I mean, Templeton and Hernandez, were they basically about the same time when they came up in the mid-70s?
That's not bad, yeah.
So maybe, you know, off the top of my head.
You know, it's interesting.
But then throw Mason Wynn into this group, too. When they've had three guys, 23 and 21 years old, that are going to be this good, you know?
Yeah, a real solid young core of offensive players. I go back and look and go over things and mistakes made, and a lot of it was management in those days. I still contend if they'd have kept that outfield together of Gilkey, Langford, and Jordan and tried to keep it together, meaning you'd have to pay them through the rest of the 90s, the team would have been better off.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think you could say that about a lot of the young guys that unfortunately they moved for whatever one reason or another. And, you know, and that's the problem that's going to come up this winter, you know, is for the Cardinals to get better and to get the pitching that they have to get, especially, you know, here's the thing. We all talk about they're going to go out and sign all these free agent pitchers. Well, what do you do if Aaron Nola stays in Philadelphia? What do you do if Blake Snell stays in San Diego? I mean, both of those things I think are realistic possibilities, that those guys are going to stay right where they are. And then, you know, you're talking about Urias is now out of the picture because, you know, we don't know what his future is going to be. So who is the next, all of a sudden, best,
you know, Sonny Gray
pitcher? Yeah. But how, you know, or is he more than a three or a four? You know, is he a one? Is he a two?
Oh, he's a one on this staff. Maybe he's not a one on a great staff. But
my point being that if all of a sudden those guys that you're hoping you can get by spending a lot of money are not available, then you're back into having to look to make trades to get what's the kind of pitching that you want. And that's where you're going to end up having to sacrifice one of these, you know, guys that we're talking about that I don't think anybody wants to trade.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any way they're going to trade Gorman, Walker, or Wynn. But I would be – does Tommy Edman have trade value, who's a really fine player that I want on my team?
Depends on what the team you're talking about is, where they need a player. Do they need a shortstop? Do they need a second baseman? Do they need a center fielder? I think he can fill a lot of holes for you. So I think that does, you know, increase his trade value, just like it would for Brendan Donovan.
Yeah. All right.
One more quickie when you talk about trade situation. The catching seems a little jammed up again, and we don't see Herrera here in September, although he had a terrific season at Memphis. Is this the guy, as you look at each individual, that maybe has the most value as a trade piece?
It might be, yeah. I think there's a possibility of that because they liked how he played. I mean, he was here for a couple of weeks in the middle of the season, and they liked how he played. And I did say something to the manager the other week when we were talking about September call-ups, if they'd like to see him here again in September. And he goes, we've seen him. So I think they feel like they know, you know, the improvements he made at AAA and how he played up here, and I guess how they played in the spring training as well, that maybe they don't necessarily. And he said if you bring him up, then you're taking this, you know, you're already rotating two catchers through, and all of a sudden if you're rotating three catchers, then you're kind of taking playing time away from those two guys. So and I think the way Kisner has played this year is kind of convinced that maybe that he can split playing time. So it might end up being that if they're happy that they're not going to, you know, they're going to, you know, obviously keep Contreras because of the contract, and he's, you know, certainly hit well enough, and they think he's going to end up being catching well enough that the two of them can continue to handle the load next year. Maybe Herrera is the guy that you look to move because they do have a couple other catchers down lower in the system that they really like. Leonardo Bernal, who's a 19-year-old kid at Palm Beach.
Switch hitter.
They really like him as a catcher. So they've got, you know, they do, and, you know, maybe he might be ready about the time that Contreras' contract is over, so, you know, to give him enough time to develop. So that's not a bad name to throw out there into the possible trade discussions.
Rob, good luck. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, rainbowsforkids.org/gala for anybody that's looking to get all that information there. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
We'll see you on November 10th. We'll take a short time out when we come back.